here tonight. We'll be in Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4 tonight. We're continuing our study here in the book of Proverbs. 2 weeks ago, we dealt with the heart, and we spent the whole night dealing with the matter of the heart. I mean, you really could have a long series just dealing with the heart and just the matters of the heart. I mean, there's just so much in Scripture about the heart. And I mean, just being at the heart of all things, I mean, it's just an amazing thing. We could have spent a lot of time on that. But and as we pick up here tonight in Proverbs 4, we're going to look at some more wise counsel here from King Solomon to his son. And I've entitled tonight's message, Watch Your Mouth and Keep Straight. Watch your mouth and keep straight. We'll be in Proverbs chapter 4, verses 24 through 27. Verses 24 through 27. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Let's pray. Lord, as we come before you this evening, I want to thank you, Lord, for your people that have gathered here tonight once again on this Lord's Day. I ask you, Lord, to give me tonight the words that you would have me to say. May your people leave here tonight encouraged, challenged, strengthened in their walk with you. And may we leave here tonight and having a better walk with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Our first emphasis tonight on verse 24, it says, put away. That will be our first emphasis. This quite simply means to put at distance, to put some distance between you and this. To put away, King Solomon wanted his son to put at distance a froward mouth. And we're going to look at what froward means. Froward means not willing to yield or comply with that is required, unyielding, ungovernable, refractory, disobedient, peevish. And then it has an example as a froward child. Now, we do live in a froward generation. At one point in time in my life, I was froward. You've heard my testimony many a times. I was froward. I was disobedient. I would not listen to my authorities. I stuck my nose up to my authorities. At one point in time in my life, I did that. Many of us can say that, but I'm glad that God removed us from froward, and we can look out in society and see where the attitude of the froward gets people. Deuteronomy 32:20 says, they are a very froward generation, children in whom is no faith. There is a vocabulary also to being froward, and this is what we're looking at here. For example, I refuse to do this or that. Or I'm a rebel. You hear people that boast that. They boast about being a rebel. They boast as if that's a good thing to be a rebel and to rebel from all forms of system, all forms of government, all forms of authority. That they boast about that. They say things like, I refuse to be governed. I refuse to be told what to do. They take this mind. By the way, there's no limit to that mindset. You won't submit to the authorities of the police. You won't submit to the authorities in the church. You won't submit to the authorities in the school. The mindset of I do my own thing, my own way, in my own time, and I won't listen to anybody. I do what I want. This is froward speech. And disobedient, it's a refusal to comply with authority. By the way, this can be a learned behavior. Froward parents produce froward kids. It can be a learned behavior. Sometimes parents are surprised when the children behave and speak froward. I've heard kids in the store tell their moms they don't care about what they're saying. Oftentimes, it is a learned behavior. Or, I'm not doing what you say. They say this to their authorities. But sadly, at times, it's learned from the parents at home. The parents behave and speak froward with a refusal to obey and a refusal to be governed, then get mad when they are on the receiving end of froward kids. King Solomon here, I believe, was trying to lead by example. King Solomon says, perverse lips put far from thee. Perverse means obstinate in the wrong, disposed to be contrary, stubborn, untractable. We said it before when we were dealing with some of this some few weeks back about folks who were wrong. They knew they were wrong and they were stubborn in their wrong. And at times, if we're not careful, we can all be like that. We can all be like that where we say, yeah, I know it. I know it. I know it's not good. But I've been this way for a long time. I've been doing this a long time. This means don't be the one that has the attitude of I know it all. I won't bend. I won't budge. Just stubborn. This is me. This is who I am. I'm stubborn, hard-headed, unwilling to change. This is who I am. You've heard the term, I'm too old to change now. Nobody's too old to change. Amen. The content of our hearts are revealed through what we say and do. Froward and peevish people are that way in their hearts. And it becomes apparent in what they say. Some say, I'm not froward, I'm not peevish. But their heart's contents, as it spills out, reveals to them the opposite. And we must teach our children this. We must exemplify this. One commentator has this to say, put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips, our hearts being naturally corrupt. Out of them a great deal of corrupt communication is apt to come, and therefore we must conceive a great dread and detestation of all manner of evil words, cursing, swearing, lying, slandering, brawling, filthiness, and foolish talking, all which come from a froward mouth and perverse lips. That will not be governed either by reason or religion, but contradict both, and which are as unsightly and ill-favored before God as a crooked, distorted mouth drawn awry is before men. All manner of tongue sins we must, by constant watchfulness and steadfastness, resolution, put far from us, abstaining from all words that have an appearance of evil and fearing to learn any such words. Luke 6:45 says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil, for of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. People speak this way. They're froward in their conversation, peevish in their conversation, because their hearts are froward and their hearts are peevish. Scripture says there's a froward generation, and again, that day is today. And King Solomon continues down in verse 25, let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. We must make a covenant with our eyes, and we need to teach our children to also make a covenant with their eyes. We see this in Psalm 101:3-4. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. A froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. Again, we must make a covenant with our eyes. We must make a covenant with our hearts. We'll set no wicked thing before our eyes. We will condemn the heart of frowardness that we have and make covenants with them both, our hearts and our minds. King Solomon says, let thine eyes look right on. He's telling his son, once you find that good path, once God reveals that good path to you, we've dealt a lot on path in Proverbs. We've dealt a lot on it. God will reveal to you the path that he wants you on. And King Solomon is saying, once you find that path that God has you to be on, look right on. That means don't have wandering eyes. So many times people get distracted from what God would have them to do because of wandering eyes. Don't get distracted. We were talking about when you go down the highway and you're traveling. There's so many places that you could stop off along the way. There's all kinds of attractions. Oh, we'll have to stop there one day. We'll have to check that out. You're going down the road. You know what? If you're not careful, a six-hour trip could turn into 2 days if you stopped at every place along the way instead of just getting where you had to go, where you needed to go to begin with. And so many times we get distracted by exit signs. We get sidetracked by this or that. But King Solomon is telling his son here to keep right on your eyes. keep them fixed on where you should be. And by the way, as this day gets more and more evil, even while you're traveling, the best thing to do is just to keep your eyes on the road. You can't look off to the left at what's displayed. Look off to the right at what's displayed. Can't do that no more. One of the best things your children can learn in life is to find the good and right path, the path that pleases the Lord, and keep their eyes fixed on Him, and don't let them wander, and don't let them stray. When your eyes catches a glimpse of something, it can sidetrack them, and before you know it, you can lose 5, 10, 15 years of your life. I can't tell you the times, just even in traveling. We spent a whole lot longer at a stop than what I wanted to. Takes a while for all the kids to go to the restroom, grab a snack, get some gas. Took a whole lot longer at that stop than what I wanted to. And you know what? We didn't plan on spending 30 minutes to get gas. You didn't plan on it. No, nobody ever plans on staying as long as they do. And out in this world, when they make a detour, nobody plans on staying there as long as they do. They plan on it being quick. That's what they bought into. That's what the devil told them. It'll be quick. From one look off that path, you look before you go. Don't even look. Y'all know my testimony. I did it and I lost several years. I lost 4, 5, 6 years off from what God wanted me to do. You get to looking, you're going to go down the wrong path. You get to looking, you're going to take an exit. You ain't got no business going down. Another commentator says on verse 26, "Let thy eye be fixed and not wandering. Let it not rove after everything that presents itself, for then it will be diverted from good and ensnared in evil. Turn it from beholding vanity. Let thy eye be single and not divided. Let thy intentions be sincere and uniform, and look not askant any by end." We must keep our eye upon our master and be careful to approve ourselves to him. Keep our eye upon our rule and conform to that. Keep our eye upon our mark, the prize of the high calling, and direct all towards that. Many have been ruined because they could not keep their eyes right on where they needed to be. They had wandering eyes. It found something it should not have. It liked something that it shouldn't have liked. And then this famous verse applies, Lamentations 3:51, "Mine eye affecteth mine heart." And once your eyes, once you see, once it affects your heart, it's in your heart. And once it's in your heart, it won't be long before it's out in your life for everybody to see. It's often been said the devil uses the eye gate. It looked good. It looked good for food. It looked like it was all right. Sometimes it bothers me how careless parents are with the eyes of their children. It really does. Children my boy's age have cell phones with data plans, unrestricted access to the internet, alone in their rooms with their friends, etc., on this mess. Kids are being kidnapped, becoming addicted to immorality, younger and younger and younger of ages. If you look up the definition of pornography, it deals with depiction. Then you look up the word depiction. I won't go into all of it. You can watch it, you can read it, you can hear it, you can invent it in your own mind. And if anybody could speak on this, it would be King Solomon. Women was his downfall. Vanity was his downfall. It's time for parents to wisen up. We're losing a generation of young people, even church kids, to garbage. Because parents want to be naive and not guard their children's eyes. Children learn what not to look at from you. They learn what to look at from you. They'll read about what you let them read about. And the seeds will be sown. And it reveals itself in their actions. We don't have to know what someone's thinking or what's in their heart. Their actions will reveal it. And our actions will reveal it to others. My actions will reveal it to you. What's in my mind? What's in my heart? It's just the way it goes. Our actions tell on us. When you do something, when you say something, good or bad, you are revealing the contents of your heart. King Solomon continues here by saying, "And let thine eyelids look straight before thee." Same concept, teach your children to keep their eyes on God. Keep their eyes fixed on the path that God would have them to go down. King Solomon says down in verse 26, "Ponder the path of thy feet and let all thy ways be established." This is an important verse here, and it applies to children, it applies to adults, it applies to everybody in here. Ponder means to view with deliberation, to examine. Proverbs 4:26 says, "Ponder the path of thy feet." Proverbs 21:2, "The Lord pondereth the hearts." We are to examine our path. We need to also teach our children to examine the path that they are on. It should go without saying, but if you're seeing things that are not right on that path that you are on, that don't look like God would be pleased while you are on this path, it might be a good path to get off of. Amen. But children will only learn this if you teach them what to be cautious about and what to be cautious of. They need to examine their path, and they examine it by this book. You examine your company on this path. When you set out on a path, examine your company. Examine those who are out with you. Examine what you see on this path. Examine what you are partaking in on this path. Examine where those are who are a few years ahead of you on that same path. And if it don't look good, sound good, you got the wrong company, you're doing bad things while you're out there, those on the path ahead of you are in mess, then it is not the path for you. And we need to teach our children this. There's too much of this, sadly, even in Christianity. People just see a path and shoot down it. They see an opportunity, they just go flying down it. Close their eyes in safety, not even examining what they're seeing, what they're hearing, what they're doing, and what others on it are doing. I think a lot of even what we even see today out in the world, okay, even if you set religion aside, it don't make sense. Just look around you, what everybody else is doing out there. It should make some sense to me that you wouldn't spend time around people that are doing those things. That you wouldn't go down the same path as folks that are doing those same things. God is trying to give us the right path, and the devil wants to give you a path that looks the same at first, but subtle changes. One of the things they have at Steak and Shake, if you go and sit down in there at Steak and Shake, they got this thing out there that the kids can color on. Sometimes they'll have pictures on there, and it'll be two pictures that are nearly identical, but there are changes in it, and they want you to find the changes in those pictures. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes you really have to look. And if you went and found one that was more age appropriate for an adult, it gets even harder to find the differences. I can find them on the kid paper there at Steak and Shake, but if they give me one advanced, then it becomes a little bit harder to find the differences. But sometimes you really got to look. You've really got to examine. It takes eyes better than yours. Sometimes you got to get help. Sarah. And when we're going down these paths, we need help. We need eyes apart from ours. God's given us wisdom. God's placed people in our paths that have wisdom. And God will be our vision if we trust Him. And remember, if you find even one thing that's different, it's a different path. That's all it takes is one thing for it to be different. Just like it's a different piece of paper. If it's one thing that's different, it's a different Bible. If it's one thing that is wrong, it's not a path that God would send you down. We must examine these paths. We must examine where our feet are going. And at early stages in our children's life, we have to examine their path for them. A lot of parents don't like to do this. Sadly, today, they don't like to examine the path for their children. They like to leave it up to them. They like to leave it up to them to examine the path. You want to do that? You want those to be your friends? That's fine. I trust your decision making. That's the attitude today. You may have to tell them, no, I don't like this path because of where it goes. You would have to miss church if you went down this path. Your friends would not be any good on that path. The music on that path is no good. Where that path ends up is no good. So you cannot go down that path. A parent unwilling to say no to their child will ruin them and will yes them all the way to destruction. Will they get mad? Yeah. Especially the older, perhaps, that they get. But I'm here today because my mother decided if I got mad over righteousness, that I could get mad and then get over it as quickly as I got mad about it. I'm here today because my mom said no more times than she said yes. And I'm here today because my mom fought the hard fight of having to tell her kids no in what was in their best interest. When I wanted to go, when I wanted to wear it, when I wanted to listen to it, or like this girl or that one, the answer was no, it was not best for me. And I encourage you not to drop the bar. Why settle for what would just be good for your kids when you could settle for what would be best for them? And looking back, I understand now. It was a hard fight, but I'm glad it's a fight that she fought. We're friends now because she was my mom then. When had she been my friend then, I would look less of her as a mom today because she did not protect me and shield me from mess. Because she was a yes mom, and I learned it all the hard way because she did not love me enough to fight for me, to fight the devil for me, to fight my friends for me, to fight culture, to fight this world for me. But gave me up to them because as a child does, they want at times what is not best for them. Had she gave me what I wanted all the time, I'm not here. I fell back on the foundation that I had. I'm glad I had something to fall back on. I'm here today because she fought for me, she sacrificed for me, examined my paths, and gave the heart to say no at times, a lot of the times. Verse 27, turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. In verse 27, King Solomon kind of echoes previous verse. Get on that path and stay there. Then says at the end, and we'll close, remove thy foot from evil. It's easy to look up one day and find yourself in a situation. Evilness is presented every day. Every day. It's easy, it's not hard at all to look up one day and find yourself in a situation. And when you find yourself presented with evilness, in the company of evilness, remove yourself. One of the best advice or pieces of wisdom I ever got was from an older gentleman in the church who kind of looked at me as his son. He was kind of a father figure for me. He was a World War II veteran. And he used to tell me all the time with tears in his eyes, he really meant it. He said, BB, and my nickname was BB. I don't know if y'all knew that. But my nickname was BB. And he'd say, BB, there's going to come times in school when you're going to have to stand. And you might have to stand alone. But you stand. You might be all by yourself. And I use that loosely because when you take a stand for righteousness, when you take a stand for Christ, you better believe you're not alone in that corner. Amen. You've got to maintain that. We'll never stay in the fight if we don't be grounded in who's in the fight with us. Yeah. To all the children in the room, you may have friends at some point who will try and show you something indecent. Kids today have cell phones even in school. Chances are they're not saved. They're going to look at what their flesh wants them to look at. Don't look at it with them. Don't talk about it with them. Say no. You'll feel left out because they won't show you. You just want to feel accepted. I do remember even in the Christian school at times, I did not feel accepted because they were looking at something over there and didn't want me to see it because they knew because of my mother. And because of my service in the church and stuff, that they knew the type of student that I was trying to be, and they didn't want to show me that, and I felt left out because they did not want to show me that. And I felt at times that I was at a disadvantage when I was in school, but no, I was not. You stand in the corner with Jesus, you won't be alone. You take a stand for him, you better believe it, that he's with you. You better believe he'll fill you with his spirit and his power. You do right, you'll realize can't nobody give you better company than Jesus. We see the fight ramping up today. The devil's out in full force. His demons are out in full force. They're out on attack. They want to destroy every home in here. They want to destroy this church. They want to destroy the other Bible-believing church down the road. They want to destroy them. They want to destroy all of us. They want us wiped off the face of the earth. They don't even want us reproducing kids. They don't want us to be homeschooling. They don't want us to teach our own kids. I mean, they're literally trying to take everything from us. Full out assault. Churches are being fined today, $5,000 a service. We got to decide where we're at. We need to decide what path we're on and what path we're going to stay on. And we can't become distracted by what's going on over here and what's going on over there. Because if we're not careful, we won't be in the fight too long. We got to stay on the path that God would have us to be on if you want to stay in the fight. I encourage you tonight, as we looked at verse 24, put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips, put far from thee. My challenge tonight is for us to, you know, it goes deeper than the mouth, and it goes down into the heart, which it precedes. Verse 23 precedes verse 24, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And then it goes into verse 24. We know that what comes out of our mouth is out of the abundance of our hearts. So we really need our hearts to be clean, and that's going to change what we're talking about. I encourage you to do that. This is our challenge tonight. It hit me, everyone in the room, if they're here ready and willing to be ministered to. And I encourage you in verse 25, let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet. We need to examine it. And let all thy ways be established. Verse 27, turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Let's pray. Lord, as we come before you once again this evening, I want to thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you, Lord, for this study that we've had up to this point in the book of Proverbs. There's been a lot of challenging pieces of wisdom in here, not only for us as parents, but for the children, and then those who, I mean, it just touches everybody's heart in the room. And I just ask you, Lord, to continue to work and continue to lead and guide. In Jesus' name, amen.